Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
जिसका हम पल्ला कोई मोहल्ला नहीं जी, जिसका हम पल्ला कोई मोहल्ला नहीं, एक ऐसा मोहल्ला मदीने में है, एक ऐसा मोहल्ला मदीने में है, ये शहर मुस्तफा है, ये शहर मुस्तफा है, मदीना करीम है, सबको निभा रहा है मदीना करीम है, ये शहर मुस्तफा है, क्यों ना करीम हो ये के आका करीम का, क्यों ना करीम हो ये के आका करीम का, मस्कन जो बन गया है, मस्कन जो बन गया है मदीना करीम है, सबको निभा रहा है मदीना करीम है, ये शहर मुस्तफा है, फैला के अपनी बाहें बुलाता है बार बार, फैला के अपनी बाहें बुलाता है बार बार, रहमत का दायरा है, रहमत का दायरा है मदीना करीम है, सबको निभा रहा है मदीना करीम है, एक ऐसा मोहल्ला मदीने में है,
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome to another beautiful edition on a Monday morning, or Monday afternoon should I say, on the midday show. with myself and Brother Sulaiman Isub every Monday to Thursday between 12 and 12.45 or 12.50. Today being the 5th of Rabi'ul Awwal 1446, corresponding to Monday the 9th of September 2024. You know, just during the week, on the weekend, I seen a post that alhamdulillah, we have 6 months left for the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Look at it, how close. We're just saying today that it's going to be 6 months, but in, as you know, time is flying so fast that the next thing we know it will be saying that we got like 3 months, then we've got 90 days, we've got 30 days, then we've got a few weeks till the blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us and let us see the beautiful month of Ramadan. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Today we're going to be starting off our show with our recipe segment, inshallah. And this is for an ultimate thick base pizza, and this was sent in by Mrs. Ali. So we just say Jazakallah Khairan to Mrs. Ali for sending in this beautiful recipe. So it is for a ultimate thick base pizza. So what you're going to need, you're going to need a 320, it says grams of cool water or millimeters, whatever the case may be. So you're going to need 320 grams of cool water, 8 grams of salt, 40 grams of oil, 1 teaspoon of instant dry yeast, 400 grams of white bread flour. So 320 grams of cool water, 320 milliliters of water, 8 grams of salt, 40 milliliters of oil, 1 teaspoon of instant dry yeast, 400 grams of white bread flour. You're going to mix the method, you're going to mix the ingredients. You're going to mix the ingredients together in the order listed, using a silicone spatula. You're going to mix the ingredients together in order listed using a silicone spatula. It will almost be a porridge. Trust the process and don't add any flour. So you're going to mix the ingredients together in the order listed using a silicone spatula. It will be almost a porridge. Trust the process and don't add any flour. Cover and leave for 30 minutes. Now stretch and fold. Stretch and fold. Use the spatula to lift the dough. Use the spatula to lift the dough and gently stretch it over itself. Use the spatula to lift the dough and gently stretch it over itself. Rotate the bowl and repeat. Rotate the bowl and repeat. Continue until the dough is in a neat ball. Continue until the dough is in a neat ball. Cover the bowl and refrigerate for 12 to 24 hours. Cover the bowl and refrigerate for 12 to 24 hours. Around 2 hours before you are ready to bake. Around 2 hours before you are ready to bake, remove it from the fridge. Remove it from the fridge. Tip dough out onto a well-greased 30 by 40 centimeter tray. Tip dough out onto a well-greased 30 to 40 centimeter tray. Sprinkle liberally with flour. Sprinkle liberally with flour. Then use your hands and press. Use your hands to press and stretch the dough out to fit the pan. Use your hand to press or stretch the dough out to fit the pan. Sprinkle again with the flour. Sprinkle again with flour. And cover loosely and then set aside for 1.5 hours. Then you're going to preheat the oven to 200 degrees this time. Preheat the oven well to 200 degrees during this time. Bake the pizza base for about 8 to 10 minutes until golden on the bottom. Bake the pizza base for about 8 to 10 minutes until golden on the bottom. Remove and top with sauces, toppings, and cheese. Remove and top with sauces, toppings, or cheese. Place it back in the oven for a further 5 to 10 minutes until it's done. Place it back in the oven for a further 5 to 10 minutes until it's done. All the baking times are just the estimates as every oven varies. So that was a ultimate thick base pizza. So that was just a base pizza, right? So you're going to need read it out again. It's 320 milliliters of cool water, 8 grams of salt, 40 milliliters of oil, 1 teaspoon of instant dry yeast, 400 grams of white bread flour. You're going to mix the ingredients together in the order listed using a silicone spatula. It will be almost a porridge. Trust the process and don't add any flour. Cover and leave for 30 minutes. Then stretch and fold. Use the spatula to lift the dough and gently stretch it over itself. Rotate the bowl and repeat. Continue until the dough is in a neat ball. Cover the bowl and refrigerate for 12 to 24 hours. Around 2 hours before you are ready to bake, remove it from the fridge. Tip dough out onto a well-greased 30 to 40 centimeter tray. Sprinkle liberally with flour. Then use your hands to press or stretch the dough out to fit the pan. Sprinkle again with flour and cover loosely, then set aside for 1.5 hours. Preheat the oven very well to 200 degrees Celsius during this time. Bake the pizza base for about 8 to 10 minutes until golden on the bottom. Remove and top with sauces, toppings, or cheese. Then place it back in the oven for another 5 to 10 minutes until it is done. And that is for your ultimate thick base pizza. So we say Jazakallah Khairan to Mrs. Ali for sending in that recipe for us. Our next recipe is for a easy vegetable stir fry. Easy vegetable stir fry, and this was sent in by Sister Fatima Suleiman. Remember, if you want to send in any recipes, then you can send it through on 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. So inshallah, you're going to need one packet of 250 grams McCain the stir fry vegetable mix. One packet of 250 gram McCain stir fry vegetable mix. One teaspoon of black pepper. One teaspoon of black pepper. One teaspoon of black pepper. A quarter teaspoon of salt. A quarter teaspoon of salt. 2 teaspoons of ginger and garlic paste. 2 teaspoons of ginger and garlic paste. 2 tablespoons of soy sauce. 2 tablespoons of soy sauce. 2 tablespoons of sweet chili sauce. So you're going to need one packet of 250 gram McCain stir fry vegetable mix, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 2 teaspoons of ginger and garlic paste, 2 tablespoons of soy sauce, and 2 tablespoons of sweet chili sauce. Then you're going to heat enough vegetable oil in a wok. Heat enough vegetable oil in a wok. Stir fry on high to ensure that the vegetables cook evenly and maintain a good crunch. Stir fry on high to ensure that the vegetables cook evenly and maintain a good crunch. Then you're going to add in the ginger and garlic paste. Add in the ginger and garlic paste. You're going to add in the ginger and garlic paste, the salt, and the black pepper, and stir fry for 30 seconds. So you're going to add in the ginger and garlic paste, salt, black pepper, and the stir fry for 30 seconds. Then lastly, you're going to add in the soy sauce and sweet chili sauce and mix well. You're going to add in the soy sauce and the sweet and chili sauce and mix well and serve hot. If you want, you can garnish with sesame seeds and nuts of your choice. Serve with rice or noodles. Once again, this is for a easy vegetable stir fry recipe. You will need one packet of 250 gram McCain stir fry vegetable mix, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 2 teaspoons of ginger and garlic paste, 2 tablespoons of soy sauce, 2 tablespoons of sweet chili sauce. You're going to heat enough vegetable oil in a wok. The stir fry on high to ensure that the vegetables cook evenly and maintain a good crunch. Then you're going to add in the ginger and garlic paste, the salt and the black pepper, and the stir fry for 30 seconds. Lastly, you're going to add in the soy sauce and sweet chili sauce and mix well and then serve hot. So that recipe was sent in by Sister Fatima Suleiman. We say Jazakallah Khairan for those recipes. Our next recipe that comes in is, for a sticky kofta kebab. Sticky kofta kebab. And this was sent in by Sister Farana Dawood. Sister Farana Dawood. You're going to use any type of kebabs. The ingredients, any type of kebabs. You're going to need spring onions. You're going to need spring onions, red pepper, some red pepper, crushed chilies, and 1 teaspoon of crushed garlic. The ingredients again, you're going to need any type of kebabs, whichever one you prefer, beef or chicken. Then you're going to have a spring, you're going to use a spring onions. Then you're going to get some red pepper, crushed chilies, 1 teaspoon of crushed garlic. Those are ingredients, right? Then for your sauces, you're going to need 4 tablespoons of sweet chili sauce, 4 tablespoons of sweet chili sauce, 3 tablespoons of soy sauce, 3 tablespoons of soy sauce, 2 tablespoons of jalapeno sauce, 2 tablespoons of jalapeno sauce, 1 tablespoon of tomato sauce, 1 tablespoon of tomato sauce, and 2 tablespoons of honey. That's for your sauces. All right. Then your method, you're going to fry the kebabs in butter and garlic. Fry the kebabs in butter and garlic. Once all is brown all over, set aside and make a sauce. Fry the kebabs in the butter and garlic. Once brown all over, set aside and make a sauce. Then you're going to mix all the sauces together, and then you're going to add the kebab and fry together to coat kebabs. Mix all the sauces together, add to kebabs, and fry together to coat the kebabs. Garnish with the sesame seeds. Garnish with the sesame seeds, chopped red pepper and spring onions. Chopped red pepper and spring onions. Then you're going to serve with, you can serve it with the mini garlic naans or pita bread. So that was for a sticky kofta kebab recipe. So alhamdulillah, we've got a lot of recipes that came. It was a quick and easy recipes. One was the ultimate thick base pizza. The other one was the stir fry. And then the other one was the sticky kofta kebab recipe. And that was sent in by Farana Dawood. I don't know if I spelled it correctly, but Sister Farana Dawood, we say Jazakallah Khairan for sending in those messages and recipes. Inshallah, we're going to be going for a small nasheed break, and when we come back, we will be having our discussion segment, inshallah.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah. Ummati, Ummati.
جب کی پیدا ہوئے ہیں ہمارے جب کہ پیدا ہوئے ہیں ہمارے نبی، بول بالے نبی، پیارے پیارے نبی، دونوں عالم کی آنکھوں کے تارے نبی، اپنے نازک لبوں سے پکارے نبی، امتی 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 امتی، جب ستانے لگے کافروں مشرکین، حق تعالی نے فرمایا اے شاہدی، تم کہو تو کرو ان کو غارت یہی، بول حضرت ایسا نہیں ہوگا کبھی، امتی 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 امتی، اس قدر تھی محبت کے خیر البشر، رکھ کے سجدے میں سر ہو گئے چشم تر، کہتے تھے اے خدا مالک بحر و بر، بخش دوں امت کو ہے دعا سر بسر، امتی 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 امتی، تو لی جائیں گی جس وقت نے کیو بدی، پھر نہ ہر ناگز سنے گا کسی کی کوئی، نفسی نفسی پکاریں گے سارے نبی، آپ اس وقت بھی کہتے ہوں گے یہی، امتی 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 امتی،
مرکز صحابہ آن لائن ریڈیو، امپاورنگ دی امہ.
25 minutes to 1 Central African time, and we come back to our discussion where we discuss various topics. Something that I want to discuss, which is very important, and you know, we are growing, we are in this age and this time and the zamana that we are living in, that the most important thing or the most important people that we have to protect and is the future of our ummah, the leaders of our children. Because if they are not correctly guided, if they are not correctly looked after, and if they are given the wrong impression of life, we will lose them and they will go astray. Now you're probably wondering, how can we as parents look after our children and guide them on, you know, you see, we make dua for our children that, Ya Allah, give me a child or grant me children That will be the coolness of our eyes that will keep them on Siratul Mustaqeen. But also we must make dua for our children that, Ya Allah, you protect them from the fitna and all the dangers that is happening in and around this world, that is happening currently, you know, with the whole LGBTQ and the peer pressure. And you as a parent, you look at what you've been through, and you don't want your child to go through the same thing or make the same mistakes that you made. But children will be children. They'll think, you know what? My father, you know, he think he know too much. Or my mother thinks, you know, she's too big. She knows everything. She's old-fashioned. You know, that's the term they use. They say the parents of today are old-fashioned, but they never grow old, or they never get that gray hair for nothing. It's because of the wisdom and the hikmah and the things that they've seen in life, is that they learned and they saw and they can understand. They say, you know what, my child is growing up, I don't want him to fall into the same trap. Rather, the parent is giving nasiha and they're giving hikmah to the child. When he's growing up, they say, you know what, Betty, don't do this here. Maybe the parent will come across as being different. Maybe the parent will become very harsh in the tone that they are saying it. But it's probably that way that they are trying. That's the only way that they can make you understand. And you as a child, or you growing up, or your child might grow up to say, you know what, my mother or my father is so harsh on me, and the way they talk to me. But you as the child, sometimes even our parents, like adults who still have their parent or parents, they might speak to you in a harsh tone, but it's not because they are harsh in the way they speak, not because the way they don't love you. It's because it's the way that they talk and they try to make you understand. For example, if you're going to go do something, right? For example, you remember your mother or your father, the way they said it is embedded in your head that, you know what, my mother said like this here, or my father told me like this, or my father reprimanded me in such a way that it's like an echo in your head. But you must never feel that your parents are speaking harshly towards you. We must always make dua for them. رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Ya Allah, you have mercy on my parents as they had mercy unto me when I was small, when I was growing up. But our children of today, we have to keep them on Siratul Mustaqeen. If they feel that, you know what, we're going to keep them in a house, so be it, right? But we only do it for their love and for their own protection. It's not because we hate them, or not because you hate them. It's because you want to protect them from this dunya, from the fitna of this world. You know, in today's day and age, it's not the same as how it was 10, 15 years ago. Today, on social media, they pass so much hidden messages. So much hidden messages that you as an adult, you just look at it like, you know what, the child is just watching, but TV is haram. We don't recommend it, we condemn it, right? But maybe the child is reading a book. Even a book, the child is not even safe with a book, because a child will read something and they will indoctrinate it in such a way that it will go into the child's subconscious. And we won't even know it. Then you'll start thinking, then you start questioning your ability and your parenting. And you're thinking, where did I go wrong with my child? It's not you as a parent that went wrong. It's how we as parents, we never look out for the telltale signs. But we make dua, and everybody is human. We all make mistakes, but the way we can rectify our mistakes, we make tawbah, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah ta'ala, Ya Allah, you protect my child, you protect him or protect them from the fitna of this world. And that's as much as we can do. We can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make dua and also retire a camel in whatever we do. Inshallah, we've got about 10 minutes left. We'd like to welcome our resident alim, Maulana Zaid Khan. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Haji Suleiman. MashaAllah, listening to your advice and heeding most of it.
Jazakallah khairan. Yeah, Maulana, you know, you've got young children as well. Alhamdulillah, you know, they are in your sight. They are always, you're always looking after them. And as a parent, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep your jewelry safe salamat. Because with that being said, children that are born right under the age, like you notice under the age of 10, 12, you hear that these children are coming from broken homes. And that's why I say, firstly, Maulana, you make dua, Allah ta'ala keep your jewelry safe salamat. That's first, right? Secondly, you've got betia, not betas, but betis. You've got four of them, mashallah. So for you, Maulana, it's going to be a more of a challenge to look after them and try and protect them from, you know, this zamana and this world. And from an Islamic perspective, Maulana, I know maybe you can give us some advice as to how we can protect our children. Not to say to keep them on lock and key, but rather to just keep them safe and protect them as well, Maulana.
She, as you said, with daughters, Mufti A.K. Saab always mentions, Hammul banat ilal mamat, that growing them up is still death, because if they don't get married or whatever Allah forbid, then you have to take care of them. They are your responsibility. So the few points that you were discussing, and you mentioned what we read, so I just like to stress on this. Yesterday, they said, was the 8th of September 2024, and they classified it as the World Literate Day. So the World Literate Day. When you see, as you mentioned, when your child picks up a book, you are not safe, which is precisely correct as what you said. Because what is their definition of literacy? Their definition of literacy, when you're driving on the streets, you can see all that your child, imagine your child knows how to read. And this is apart from them being in grade 4, because the stats have made it clear now again. Okay, it's improved from the past few years. It was 80% of grade 4 learners who cannot read for meaning. So that means they can read, they can make out words, but you know, when you started reading in grade 1 or 2, you could read, you're still acquainted or getting acquainted with pronouncing those words, but to understand, that only comes afterwards. So imagine you're in grade 4 and still you are struggling to read for meaning. So that's where their concern is. So they will have this 8th of September World Literacy Day, and trying to create this hype and awareness so that people are more concerned about learning to read, reading and writing. But when we see the Quran Sharif, the first instruction, Suleiman, first instruction, first revelation that came down,
Iqra,
read.
Read in the name of thy Lord.
So that's where, how many years ago was this? 1400 and more years back. What is it that we must read? That's the big question. So when you're giving your child, go and revisit those books of all these, you know, that we used to read when we were small and young. The Seven Dwarfs and all of this, Cinderella, and I don't know what else we used to read. What was the other famous one, Suleiman?
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Jack and the Beanstalk. And
Cinderella. Then there was, you know, there were, when we were growing up, there was that the Blue Book. We talk about Ben, Sam, Pat.
And the red, what's it?
The red book was about the fox.
I forgot
the red book was the fox, and then depending on your grade. So it was your red book, and then it was your blue book. So it's grade one and grade two. Then use like short names like Pat, Sam.
Red Riding Hood.
Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
About, and the three bears. Goldilocks and the three bears.
Yeah. Now go and see, go revisit those books and see how scary it is for a child who's 3 or 4 years and what you are instilling in that child. And what's the benefit of this? So it goes back to what we were discussing last week as well. We mentioned about Dr. Afia Siddiqui. Just an update on that also, I'll just tell you. So currently, I'm sure you know Suleiman also because you're well acquainted with the news. Hunter Biden last week, he pleaded guilty for his, you know, he was doing all of those corrupt acts and what, meeting with different strange, or not even strange, but illicit, illegitimate, different kinds of women on the streets, popping drugs, this, that, all of this. So he pleaded guilty. So interestingly, why did he just do that? Was it just because, no, he felt bad and he came out open? No, there was a reason, agenda behind it. Because everyone knows his father, genocide Biden, his hours are now almost coming there to an end. And next they say Holocaust Harris. So they say if you liked genocide Joe, then you will like Holocaust Harris. But nonetheless, what's our interest here is that towards the end of a person, of a presidency, the president will pardon many people. So they said, let him plead guilty now, and shortly after that, he'll be pardoned again by the president. So many people are pardoned towards the end of the term. They are talks, make dua, Allah Azawajal makes it possible, that Dr. Afia Siddiqui may also be pardoned amongst those people. Because you know how they operate, so it's one for one. So they'll have to have someone who's equal, or, you know, according to this, someone important. So they'll pardon Dr. Afia Siddiqui, so the whole attention is taken away from Hunter Biden and all of his corrupt acts.
You know, Maulana, they say in media, you know, the controlling, how the media controls you. They say, when they divert your attention to something, just be aware that there's something bigger happening in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Like COVID.
Exactly.
What happened then, this whole Russia and
Russia conflict, yeah.
That to divert your attention, exactly. So the point of the matter is that being literate to what? And that is what we should focus on. Our mothers at home, our whoever has got that spare time, write a book, but make it such that you have good lessons in there. You are at home. Today, what's a PDF? How much does it cost to put together a PDF? And you'll be surprised how many people will benefit from it if there's ikhlas in it. You don't have to put your name even. But your intention, what can I do to equip this ummah? This is where we should place our attention. And just going back to touch on, we said last week, we'll also just discuss a little bit more on this drug issue. Just quickly, I don't know how many minutes do we have, Suleiman?
Yeah, we've got about 4 minutes left.
Four minutes. Okay. So just a quick question and answer. They ask, people say that, you know what? If you take the Quran Sharif, it tells you and advises us to eat that which is pure. So they say, Taha is a plant, so therefore it's natural, we can eat it. So many countries are moving towards, legalizing it. South Africa itself, they call it, there's another name now, hemp. You beware of this term, hemp.
H-E-M-P.
Yeah, hemp. So this year is they're making it legal for private grow, if you want to grow it privately, private usage as well. That's no problem.
Mulana, we are not advocating the fact, even though the country is saying that you can legally grow it in your house. Marqa Sahaba is not advocating it one anyway whatsoever, even though we are mentioning it on air.
Yeah, no, we're not advocating. Definitely not. Please, 100%. Don't That's that, where we want to get to, is that we say, never...
Don't say that Mulana Zaid said that and Alim said that. You know, Mulana's name will come out after that. Yeah. That'll be an issue.
So that's exactly what we're saying. We don't move an inch towards legalizing these things according to Islam. That's their crooked law. But I'm saying you get Muslims, so-called Muslims, they say, no, it's legal because it's a plant and it's natural. But if you look at Surah An-Nahl, verse number 67, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن ثَمَرَاتِ النَّخِيلِ, that from this, if you take the, if you look at the dates, where does it come from? It comes from exactly a fruit. And it's natural, it grows, where do dates grow? It can grow in your back garden. وَمِن ثَمَرَاتِ النَّخِيلِ وَالْأَعْنَابِ, and grapevines. Alcohol, you know, they use grapes. So if you're saying that that's natural, then alcohol is also natural. But there's a procedure in which you use it. So, and by using it, if you look at the hadith, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ مُسْكِرٍ خَمْرٌ. Every intoxicator is khamr, is alcohol. وَكُلُّ مُسْكِرٍ حَرَامٌ, and every muskir is haram. And whoever hears the warning, وَمَنْ شَرِبَ الْخَمْرَ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَمَاتَ وَهُوَ يُدْمِنُهَا لَمْ يَتُوبُ, whoever drinks alcohol in this world, the alcohol in this world, and he dies, and he is totally in this intoxicated state, in a manner as well, he did not ask for forgiveness. This person here, he will never ever drink, he will never ever drink the alcohol of the Akhirah. And the alcohol of the Akhirah is something amazing which nobody wants to miss out on. So, مثلul, if you look at the verses in Surah Muhammad, verse 15, you can check it there. مثل الجنة التي وعد المتقون فيها أنهار من ماء غير آس وأنهار من لبن لم يتغير طعمه وأنهار من خمر لذة للشاربين. This last one which we mentioned, this is a, in the verse where it comes, this is rivers of wine, delicious for those who drink it. So why would you want to be deprived of that? To use arguments just to justify our actions is making you ideally a non-Muslim, a kafir. Because that which is forbidden in the Quran Sharif, and that which is forbidden in the Hadith, you want to come and you want to play Sharia, the design of the Sharia, or you want to tamper with the laws of Allah, this takes you out of the... One is you do a sin, but you know it's wrong, and you seek forgiveness. And the other is you justify, legalize who gave you that authority. So straight away, it removes you from the fold of Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also said, مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُهُ فَقَلِيلُهُ حَرَامٌ. That which intoxicates you with a high consumption, then it's whatever is little as well. People say ciders, it doesn't intoxicate you. So you can drink a cider. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, narration of Tirmidhi, فَقَلِيلُهُ حَرَامٌ. Even it's little is haram. So this was just by the way. Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq, understanding. There was other aspects we can discuss always tomorrow. How to speak to our children, as you mentioned, and how to get in touch with them and befriend them, at the same time having those limits. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Say Jazakallah khairan to Mulana Zaid for those beautiful advices. Inshallah, we will continue with this topic on how to raise our children, and also the Mulana will touch on the substances and how it affects the children, and basically we're looking after our children. From the team of Marqas Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the team of the Midday Show, with myself, Brother Suleiman Issa, Monday to Thursday between 12 and 12:45. Fi amanillah, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marqas Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah.